When I started my role as the Teaching Across Borders Director, I was really thinking about how study abroad has changed over the years. When I had done a residence abroad, I phoned home once a month, I wrote letters, pen and paper, and I look at the people that are going now and I realize they have social media, they have smartphones, which they'll probably be able to use
in the country. It's a whole different world.
Definitely. So I thought, okay, how is this changing? What do I need to know about this in order to understand what the student's experience is going to be like? So I did some research initially into how students use Facebook when they're on study abroad, because it's the number one social media website. I thought, okay, let's start there. What I discovered when I did the research was that Facebook is a very useful platform for students, and they enjoy it, they get a lot out of it, but they see it very personally. And it's one thing, even when researchers try and look at Facebook, mostly students don't like that. It's like opening the door to your bedroom. You really don't want to let people
in. It's
your
diary.
Yeah, it's your diary. So students write short blurbs, and they comment about everyday ordinary things.
It's interesting because it's your diary, but it's your diary that 350 of your friends get to look into.
Yes.
So Janet's laughing here. Janet just got back from Vietnam, and she was one of our Teaching Cross-Border students, and you keep a Facebook page.
Yes, I do.
And you obviously used that while you were away.
Yes.
To keep in touch with your friends and...
Yeah, just to let them know what I'm up to, just... We were only gone for 2.5 months. It's not a short period of time, but it's also not a long period of time. And I think it was just easier than having personal messages with all my friends saying, hey, what are you up to? Because they all want to know. But unfortunately, with the time constraints that we had over there, with lesson planning and taking our courses.
So it's a great way to reach everyone at once.
Totally. And
but Roswitha, it sounds like you're saying it may not be the best way for students to journal or catalog their experiences.
Well, everyone has different goals. So I would assume that students that go in Teaching Across Borders will still use Facebook. And that's what I discovered in my research as well, is that if you're using it now, you're going to use it when you go away. It makes it for a good tool. But for my purposes as a Teaching Across Borders Director, I wanted them to be able to document their professional learning, their changes, their development as future teachers, and how this experience was really going to change them as future teachers. And so in order to do that, I had to look into, well, is that the type of thing that people talk about on Facebook? And in general, I concluded, no, that isn't the type of thing they talk about on Facebook.
And so what did you decide to do?
So in looking at it, I thought, what I really need is something that's networked and organized. I took a look at the past blogs for the Teaching Across Borders students had done, because I thought, okay, blogging, that sounds interesting. And I found some on the internet, you know, because nothing ever disappears from the internet. And what I discovered was that they had used a variety of different websites and formats, and some had written long and short, and some had, you know, gotten it started and didn't get very far. And I thought, there's something about this that is missing what I would like to see. And I decided I needed to find something that was connected. So I found this site that a friend had suggested to me called Ning.
And N-I-N-G?
Right.
Ning?
Ning. I know. No. unfortunately, it's quite popular, and yet no one's heard of it. So I set up a blogging website where all the blogs could be centralized. And I asked the students when I met with them this summer for the first time, what's a reasonable amount of blogs to ask you to write? And so we brainstormed and we decided on 3. And now that they've come back, they said maybe 3 is actually too few.
Well, Janet, what was your experience with that?
I actually cranked out my first 2 within 2 weeks' time. Like, I remember looking back. I would visit the site periodically to see what my classmates were up to as well, just because I was curious. But then, so I think initially we were thinking, we'll do one at the beginning, middle, and end. Sounds reasonable, but I actually had problems with what do I write about, because there are so many things that happen that I want to write about. So then I almost found the 3 to be a little limiting. But so I actually got most of mine done in September, and then I kind of did a wrap-up one at the end of our teaching time while I was in Vietnam. So, but I think 3 is a nice place to be if you're not a writer and you don't, and you're not maybe as interested in sharing your experiences. Mm-hmm. But I'm a talker. I have a lot to say sometimes.
So. And so did you find that combination of being able to communicate with your friends via Facebook and being able to professionally share your experiences with your classmates and others who can see the site, was that a good combination for you?
Yeah, I think it definitely is. Personally, there are times where I get overwhelmed and I'm thinking, okay, I got to talk about this, I got to do this, and I have to do this. But it was also nice because then my friends from home who are on my Facebook, they can see mm-hmm. what I'm doing and what I'm up to. Whereas with the Ning blog, I see that as that is my professional side where I can share with potential employers and just the professional community in the future.
And so using Ning, did you find that Roswitha to be successful for you
yes.
from the tab perspective?
Yeah, I was actually very happy. First of all, it's a really professional looking site, which was awesome. I had little troubles with the banner at first and I had to play with it. But, you know, all of these sites are relatively user-friendly for the person who has to set them up. And then when I found that the students figured out not just how to upload photos to the photo section, but how to embed photos within their blogs, then it became outstanding because you had these bright, colorful pictures of people wearing different outfits or, you know, as it's getting grayer here, the blog is getting brighter. And more colorful, and the variety of experiences that the students had, you know, you definitely hit on a point because there were a couple of students, and one in particular, who wrote a really long blog post. It must have included basically what's five blog posts worth of things in one blog post. And so we discussed it when we were debriefing, saying, you know, you could have split those up. I wouldn't have said, you know, that five is too many or six is too many. And I think going forward, we're going to talk about things like that. And I told them as well, now that they're back, if they want to talk about what it's like to go into field having come back from a TAB experience, that'd be a great blog to add to the site. So their time in the site is not done. And that was another purpose, right? I wanted something where it would continue in years to come. So by centralizing the blogs, it means the students who are about to go out are reading what this year's students did, mm-hmm. but then this year's students who are now going to graduate and go on to become teachers can, when they're next fall thinking, oh, at this time last year I was in Vietnam, can go to the site and see what the students in Vietnam are up to, and because they're technically members of the blogging website, they can put comments on. And so we can keep up that professional conversation with people who know what they're talking about.